Welcome back, everybody, to Chip and Eric and Friends Reading Through the Bible, America's number one Newton, Kansas-based Bible reading podcast. Going on 3 years
three
now.
3 years.
3 years.
3 years.
Pretty impressive.
In a row.
Yeah, that's true. Three consecutive years.
I think when you do it consecutively.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it helps you stand apart. Yeah. You know,
we didn't just rate, like, we weren't the top one year and then fell off.
No.
Mm-mm. We have remained consistently the number one Bible reading podcast in Newton, Kansas.
Yeah.
Which is, so I mean, there's something to be said for that.
Yeah. Man, kind of surreal.
I know.
When you think about it that way.
I know. We can't let it get to our heads, though.
Yeah. I absolutely am letting it get to my head.
Yeah.
I mean, my name's on the podcast, Allison. You wouldn't understand.
No.
Yeah.
I'm not on there.
Yeah.
I'm behind the scenes.
Yeah. I'm in front of the scenes.
Your face is on the shirt.
No.
Excuse me. Your head is on the shirt.
Yeah, the silhouette.
Your silhouette.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of shirts.
Oh.
We're going to have a challenge starting April 1st.
Oh, I thought you were going to say speaking of shirts and then talk about the reading. But okay, we have a challenge.
I knew that's what you were thinking, so I thought.
April 1st?
Uh-huh. Yeah, we are. I was going to do it March 1st. Then I said, no, let's do it on April 1st. Let's have a spring.
That sounds amazing.
It's going to be great. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but April 1st, we're going to have a challenge and go win a prize, a shirt with Eric's silhouette.
Yeah.
And Chip. Can't forget Chipstifer.
Oh, no one can forget Chipstifer.
Nope.
Oh. Wow. Fantastic.
No Allison Stifer on the shirt.
No.
It's fine.
Jackie Stifer.
Jackie Stifer. No. Well, speaking of names that we don't go by, today is day 72, March 12th, and we're going to be reading Deuteronomy 20 through 22 and Romans 15, 22 through 33.
I'm going to be honest with you, Allison.
Mm-hmm.
I have a fever.
I know.
And we're across the room from each other.
We are. It feels kind of weird.
I just looked down at this page. This is way too many words.
Okay, here I go. We're going to get through this. We got this. Chip's got to go by two, so.
Yeah.
All right. Chapter 20, Deuteronomy chapter 20, regulations concerning war. When you go out to fight your enemies and you face horses and chariots and an army greater than your own, do not be afraid. The Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, is with you. When you prepare for battle, the priest must come forward to speak to the troops. He will say to them, listen to me, all you men of Israel. Do not be afraid as you go out and fight your enemies all today. Do not lose heart or panic or tremble before them, for the Lord your God is going with you. He will fight for you against your enemies, and he will give you victory. Then the officers of the army must address the troops and say, has anyone here just built a new house but not yet dedicated it? If so, you may go home. You might be killed in the battle, and someone else would dedicate your house. Has anyone here just planted a vineyard but not yet eaten any of its fruit? If so, you may go home. You might die in battle, and someone else would eat the fruit. Has anyone here just become engaged to a woman but not yet married her? Well, you may go home and get married. You might die in battle, and someone else will marry her. Then the officers will say, is anyone here afraid or worried? If you are, you may go home before you frighten anyone else. When the officers have finished speaking to their troops, they will appoint the unit commanders. As you approach a town to attack it, you must first offer its people terms for peace. If they accept your terms and open the gates to you, then all the people inside will serve you in forced labor. But if they refuse to make peace and prepare to fight, you must attack the town. When the Lord your God hands the town over to you, use your swords to kill every man in the town. But you may keep for yourselves all the women, children, livestock, and other plunder. You may enjoy the plunder from your enemies that the Lord your God has given you. But these instructions apply only to distant towns, not to towns of nations in the land you will enter. In those towns that the Lord your God is giving you as a special possession, destroy every living thing. You must completely destroy the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, just as the Lord your God has commanded you. This will prevent the people of the land from teaching you to imitate their detestable customs and the worship of their gods, which could cause you to sin deeply against the Lord your God. When you are attacking a town and the war drags on, you must not cut down the trees with your axes. You may eat the fruit, but do not cut down the trees. Are there trees of your enemies that you should attack them? You may only cut down trees that you know are not valuable for food. Use them to make the equipment if you need to attack the enemy town until it falls.
Deuteronomy chapter 21, cleansing for unsolved murder. When you are in the land the Lord your God is giving you, someone may be found murdered in a field, and you don't know who committed the murder. In such a case, your elders and judges must measure the distance from the site of the crime to the nearby towns. When the nearest town has been determined, that town's elders must select from the herd a heifer that has never been trained or yoked to a plow. They must lead it down into a valley that has not been plowed or planted and that has a stream running through it. There in the valley, they must break the heifer's neck. Then the Levitical priest must step forward, for the Lord your God has chosen them to minister before him and pronounce blessings in the Lord's name. They are to decide all legal and criminal cases. The elders of the town must wash their hands over the heifer whose neck was broken. Then they must say, "Our hands did not shed this person's blood, nor did we see it happen. O Lord, forgive your people, Israel, whom you have redeemed. Do not charge your people with the guilt of murdering an innocent person. Then they will be absolved of the guilt of this person's blood. By following these instructions, you will do what is right in the Lord's sight and will cleanse the guilt of murder from your community."
Marriage to a captive woman. Suppose you go out to war against your enemies and the Lord your God hands them over to you and you take some of them as captives. And suppose you see among the captives a beautiful woman and you are attracted to her and want to marry her. If this happens, you may take her to your home where she must shave her head, cut her nails, and change the clothes she was wearing when she was captured. She will stay in your home, but let her mourn for her father and mother for a full month. Then you will marry her, and you will be her husband, and she will be your wife. But if you marry her, and she does not please you, you must let her go free. You may not sell her or treat her as a slave, for you have humiliated her.
Rights of the firstborn. Suppose a man has two wives, but he loves one and not the other, and both have given him sons. And suppose the firstborn son is the son of the wife he does not love. When the man divides his inheritance, he may not give the larger inheritance to his younger son, the son of the wife he loves, as if he were the firstborn son. He must recognize the rights of his oldest son, the son of the wife he does not love, by giving him a double portion. He is the first son of his father's virility, and the rights of the firstborn belong to him.
Dealing with a rebellious son. Suppose a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or mother, even though they discipline him. In such a case, the father and mother must take the son to the elders as they hold court at the town gate. The parents must say to the elders, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious and refuses to obey. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all the men of his town must stone him to death. In this way, you will purge the evil from among you, and all Israel will hear about it and be afraid. Various religions. If someone has committed
regulations.
A crime... Various religions. Various regulations.
Yeah.
If someone has committed a crime worthy of death and is executed and hung on a tree, the body must not remain hanging from the tree overnight. You must bury the body that same day, for anyone who is hung is cursed in the sight of God. In this way, you will prevent the defilement of the land your Lord your God is giving you as a special possession.
Deuteronomy chapter 22. If you see your neighbor's ox or sheep or goat wandering away, don't ignore your responsibility. Take it back to its owner. If its owner does not live nearby or you don't know who the owner is, take it to your place and keep it until the owner comes looking for it. Then you must return it. Do the same if you find your neighbor's donkey, clothing, or anything else your neighbor loses. Don't ignore your responsibility. If you see that your neighbor's donkey or ox has collapsed on the road, do not look the other way. Go and help your neighbor get it back on its feet. A woman must not put on men's clothing, and a man must not wear women's clothing. Anyone who does this is detestable in the sight of the Lord your God. If you happen to find a bird's nest in a tree or on the ground, and there are young ones or eggs in it with the mother sitting in the nest, do not take the mother with the young. You may take the young, but let the mother go, so that you may prosper and enjoy a long life. When you build a new house, you must build a railing around the edge of its flat roof. That way you will not be considered guilty of murder if someone falls from the roof. You must not plant any other crop between the rows of your vineyard. If you do, you are forbidden to use either the grapes from the vineyard or the other crop. You must not plow with an ox and a donkey harnessed together. You must not wear clothing made of wool and linen woven together. You must put four tassels on the hem of the cloak with which you cover yourself, on the front, back, and sides.
Regulations for sexual purity. Suppose a man marries a woman, but after sleeping with her, he turns against her and publicly accuses her of shameful conduct, saying, "When I married this woman, I discovered she was not a virgin." Then the woman's father and mother must bring the proof of her virginity to the elders as they hold court at the town gate. Her father must say to them, "I gave my daughter to this man to be his wife, and now he has turned against her. He has accused her of shameful conduct, saying, 'I discovered that your daughter was not a virgin, but here is the proof of my daughter's virginity.' Then they must spread her bedsheets before the elders. The elders must then must then take the man and punish him. They must also fine him 100 pieces of silver, which he must pay to the woman's father because he publicly accused a virgin of Israel of shameful conduct. The woman will then remain the man's wife, and he may never divorce her. But suppose the man's accusations are true, and he can show that she was not a virgin. The woman must be taken to the door of her father's home, and there the men of the town must stone her to death, for she has committed a disgraceful crime in Israel by being promiscuous while living in her parents' home. In this way, you will purge this evil from among you. If a man is discovered committing adultery, both he and the woman must die. In this way, you will purge Israel of such evil. Suppose a man meets a young woman, a virgin, who is engaged to be married, and he has sexual intercourse with her. If this happens within a town, you must take both of them to the gates of that town and stone them to death. The woman is guilty because she did not scream for help. The man must die because he violated another man's wife. In this way, you will purge this evil from among you. But if the man meets the engaged woman out in the country and he rapes her, then only the man must die. Do nothing to the young woman. She has committed no crime worthy of death. She is as innocent as a murder victim. Since the man raped her out in the country, it must be assumed that she screamed, but there was no one to rescue her. Suppose a man has intercourse with a young woman who is a virgin, but is not engaged to be married. If they are discovered, he must pay her father 50 pieces of silver. Then he must marry the young woman because he violated her, and he may never divorce her as long as he lives. A man must not marry his father's former wife, for this would violate his father.
Okay, off to Romans chapter 15, verse 22.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 22 through 33.
Okay. In fact, my visit to you has been delayed so long because I have been preaching in these places. Paul's travel plans. But now I have finished my work in these regions, and after all these long years of waiting, I am eager to visit you. I am planning to go to Spain, and when I do, I will stop off in Rome. And after I have enjoyed your fellowship for a little while, you can provide for my journey. But before I come, I must go to Jerusalem and take the gift to the believers there. For you see, the believers in Macedonia and Achaia have eagerly taken up an offering for the poor among the believers in Jerusalem. They were glad to do this because they feel they owe a real debt to them. Since the Gentiles receive the spiritual blessings of the good news from the believers in Jerusalem, they feel the least they can do in return is to help them financially. As soon as I have delivered this money and completed this good deed of theirs, I will come to see you on my way to Spain, and I am sure that when I come, Christ will richly bless our time together.
Dear brothers and sisters, I urge you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to join in my struggle by praying to God for me. Do this because of your love for me, given to you by the Holy Spirit. Pray that I will be rescued from those in Judea who refuse to obey God. Pray also that the believers there will be willing to accept the donation I am taking to Jerusalem. Then, by the will of God, I will be able to come to you with a joyful heart and will be an encouragement to each other. Now, may God, who gives us peace, be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
And that is our reading today.
Yeah, sorry. And that is our reading today.
I don't know. What did you say?
I said amen because he said amen.
Oh, okay.
And that is our reading today. That is our reading today.
Which we read with two questions in mind.
Today.
And that would be, how does this help me love God more? And how does this help me love others more?
There were a lot more questions in mind.
Yeah.
There's a lot of questions with that Deuteronomy passage.
Yeah, I have a lot.
I don't know.
Maybe, do you have answers?
I don't have answers for that stuff. I'm not a biology teacher.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, Allison, how does this help me love God or others more? Goodness, that's a tough question, Eric.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with God. This helps me love God more.
Okay.
By the idea that, this is tough, but the idea that when it talked about like it's these little things that you see God tell them to do, to care about, to show their care and concern and love for each other, mm-hmm. through make sure you've built a guardrail around the roof of your home so that no one would die falling off your roof.
That you're not guilty of murder.
Right.
Whoa.
His standard is so high. When I read that the passages about, sexual purity and what was expected of people, you know, that these are the passages that you hear people criticize Christians for, like when they say, well, you do know that you would be stoned to death if you lived back in that time. You still like, you know, you still believe in God, you know, mm-hmm. you still think that's okay. Well, it helps me to love God more to know that God was showing them how high his standard was.
Yeah.
It wasn't about God wasn't putting those rules out there with the idea that they could keep them. He knew that they couldn't keep them.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that he lowered his standard. He didn't lower his standard to make it attainable for us, right? His standard, he wanted us to see how high his standard of perfection was. Mm-hmm. Because when I read those passages, and a lot of these passages where people are stoned, how many times was I, my parents could have taken me to the front of the elders and have me stoned. That would have been a thing.
Yeah.
I was a terrible human being as a teenager.
Yeah.
So it's harsh to read that stuff, but it's helpful if you read it through the lens of, this is God showing his level of perfection, how short we fall. I mean, how we cannot ever attain that, and how wonderful he is for sending Jesus to cover that.
Yeah.
To say, you know what, you can't do this. Mm-hmm. So I've made a way.
Which is so much of the message of Romans.
Yes.
Not the passage we read today, but like the whole book of Romans.
Yes.
So much the message of it is, you know, and Galatians 2, which I think is the next book that we start in the New Testament, potentially. I don't know.
It is.
Okay. You know, it's just this message that the law is just this mirror that we can hold up to ourselves to show just how imperfect we are,
mm-hmm.
you know, and... yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I think that's great, and it tells us things about God. You're right, mm-hmm. 100%. I think this helps me love others more, just this idea of, like, don't ignore your responsibility, right? It says it twice, don't ignore your responsibility. And I just think that, like, Moses doesn't have to say, you have a responsibility here, mm-hmm. right? It's just intrinsic, like, it's within them. They know they have this responsibility to their neighbor, to, like, mm-hmm. look out for their neighbor. When we talk about love of neighbor and, you know, just how important that is, I think sometimes we want someone to define, like, okay, well, actually that's literally like when Jesus says, love your neighbor, the guy's like, well, who's my neighbor?
Yeah.
Right. So I think when we talk about love of neighbor, we want people to give us hard definitions for what that is so that we can do the bare minimum.
Yep.
But what's being said here, with just like the don't ignore your responsibility, the implication there is like you have a responsibility and you know you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what a pain in the butt it would be to go capture someone else's donkey that wandered off. Right? Like,
right.
We have chickens and our chickens go all over our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognize that that's probably the most annoying thing in the world. I had a neighbor come to me. And she wasn't complaining about the chickens being out. She's just like, hey, you know, one of your chickens was kind of like over near our yard. And I'm like, okay, I'm really sorry about that. She goes, no. It's just we tried to catch it and bring it back, but we couldn't get it.
Oh.
And I'm like, yeah, you can't catch them, you know. But like, just think about that with a donkey.
Yeah, really.
You know, you don't know if that's an angry donkey who's going to kick you. Like, you know, so like the responsibility of, man, I've got to take an hour or two out of my day to go catch this donkey.
Right.
Because it's my responsibility. Well, the whole idea to me is, yeah, we do have this implied responsibility to our neighbors, and it's not, God doesn't define a bare minimum,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I just think that, man, I need to keep that in the front of my mind, that when I just know that there's something right or wrong to mm-hmm. do, I need to just
do it,
you know? Mm-hmm. Like, so I just need to do that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I don't know. I hope any of that made sense.
It did make sense.
Wow.
Eric is speaking through a fever, but isn't he doing great? Like, I would be in bed crying.
That's right where now. I've been.
Have you been crying?
Yeah. That's not the different part.
I'm a terrible sick person.
Oh, like, yeah. I know. I'm awful at being sick.
I feel like everyone needs to know just how bad it is.
Yeah.
And
they do.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I make sure of that.
No, I don't know, out of the past 96 hours, I think I've slept 89 of them.
But look at you here, reading the Bible.
Here I am.
This is a perfect, what's this today? Today is Tuesday, so yesterday's weekly update video goes very well with this when I was talking about staying in the Word,
yeah.
no matter what. Here you are. Fever. Here I am. Reading the Bible.
Yep. Fever reading the Bible.
He can he'll remember some of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're proud of you. You've made it through 10 weeks of reading the Bible, and that is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
You're close to 3 months in. So
that's crazy.
I know. That's amazing. You guys and are doing awesome. Getting through the books that we've gotten through are not easy books. So nope. You've done a wonderful job. Nope. We're super proud of you.
You're doing so good. Keep it up. Yep. Stick with it.
We'll see you tomorrow. Happy Easter.
I don't get it.
I wish everybody could see your face.